When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Welcome to episode 206 of Realm Maintenance, recorded for August 29th, 2016. I hope you have a lot of fun playing Legion this week if you are a World of Warcraft player. If you're not into World of Warcraft and you listen to this podcast because you want to know about podcasts for other Blizzard games, you won't be entirely left out this week. Just skip ahead to the very end of the show and you will hear my usual quick roundup, which recaps every podcast I know of that's released an episode over the past week. Otherwise, I hope you enjoy this episode. There is some adult language in it that I've chosen not to edit out. While I did put the explicit tag on this episode, I would say that the language overall really is PG-13, and it only happens at some points. It really wasn't worth me bleeping out, and quite honestly, it's language that most of us hear on TV shows nowadays anyhow, so whatever. Enjoy the show, have fun playing Legion, and I will be back with a regular episode in 2 weeks, because I'm going to take a week off to play Legion. I said it. I'm being selfish. I'm sorry. But there will be a regular episode of Realm Maintenance back in 2 weeks. I look forward to talking to you guys then. Have fun playing Legion. And now, on with the show. Ladies and gentlemen, Alliance and Horde, podcasters and podcastees, welcome to a special episode of Realm Maintenance. My name is Ro, and thank you for listening. The next expansion for World of Warcraft is finally here, unless you're listening on Monday. Then you got a few more hours to go. With it comes the hopes and expectations of literally millions of players, many of whom I feel are likely glad they don't have to spend a moment in their garrison on Draenor ever again if they so choose. The importance of this chapter of WoW can't be stressed enough, and that's not only because of the stories that await us. As players, we're going to be tested by the might of Gul'dan and the Burning Legion. Developers will be tested by their commitment to bring a steady pace of new content, turning their focus away from the next expansion and putting more emphasis on the next content patch and the one after that, and hopefully the one after that. We can only hope. The hype for Legion has all built up to this point. And with me this week are a mix of WoW podcasters here to share their own hype, concerns, and hopes for the months to come. Without any further ado, I'd like to welcome my guests this week. First of all, we have Belle from Pwncast. How are you, Belle?
I'm alive and well.
That's great to have you on. I'm glad you're alive and well. Also alive, but maybe not necessarily so well, is Mike from Stopcast. How are you, sir?
I'm fighting off the nose drippings, but I'm here.
I appreciate your strength to endure through whatever summer cold you're dealing with there. I appreciate it.
Anytime.
And also from the Dalaran Academy podcast, we have Serafita. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, thanks.
Thank you for being on. And last but not least, a man who answered my challenge and put out episode 150 of his podcast within 72 hours of it being recorded, Rich Fisher from Horde for Life. How are you, sir?
Might be a personal record. I'd have to go back and check the archives. But yes, you called me out. We got it all. We got it done. And I'm happy to take a break from tri-boxing invasion. So thanks for the respite that you're providing tonight.
Not a problem. This will be probably the only night before Legion has actually launched that I do not participate in any invasions. I feel like invasions are pretty much the only thing everyone's doing. I look on my Twitter feed and I see, oh, I've got my 7th character to 100. I've got my 10th character to 100. It's become this new contest. Everyone's measuring how many alts they have to 100, which is definitely a great thing. I mean, when the invasions first came out, people were kind of grumbling about this XP and that XP, and now people can't get enough XP. I'm starting to see some people actually burning out on invasions because they just have so many hundreds, and they're like, can Legion just launch already? But it is basically finally here. We're recording this technically on August 24th. You folks are listening to this right at the launch of Legion. I wanted to kind of go over just a few different topics related to WoW and Legion and then see what you guys think. The first thing is, might as well start with the beginning, and I'll start with Serafita here. First thing I'd like to know from all of you is just, how excited you are about the start of Legion in comparison to this similar kind of time before previous expansions. Does it feel like the Legion hype is stronger than the hype for previous expansions?
I would definitely say so. For me personally, I'm really excited because elves are like my favorite aspect of Warcraft, and the War of the Ancients is probably one of my favorite books that's been published from the universe. And so the fact that we're actually going to be seeing a lot of the areas that the Legion initially invaded when they came to Azeroth, like seeing everything and just experiencing it all, I'm so excited about that.
And that sounds awesome. And I know that a lot of other people kind of share that thought too as well. It's interesting to be in an expansion where it's not about orcs. And in fact, there's really only one orc anyone's talking about, and then that being Gul'dan. Rich, how about you? Is the hype strong for you? I know you're the kind of player who there are times in which you are just deep into World of Warcraft, and there are times where you'll kind of have it on the back burner.
Yeah, I don't really have a lot of volume control there. It's kind of it's very binary for me. I'm either really into it or I'll take a break. I'm pretty hyped about it though. I'm pretty excited about Legion. I have to say though, Cataclysm, they promised I was going to fight on the back of a dragon, so I was pretty amped up, and subsequently also very disappointed in the resulting of fighting on the back of a dragon. But they really got me hyped with Cataclysm. So this has got to go in the second slot, but I have much higher aspirations for Legion than I did for Cataclysm. So,
sounds awesome. Well, they haven't promised fighting on the backs of any dragons this time around, but one thing they have more or less promised is that we will be fighting Gul'dan as the final boss of a raid, being the final boss of Nighthold. Mike, being a guild leader and all, and I know you're heavy into the raiding, are you excited to take down Gul'dan? Do you think maybe it's a little too soon to take down Gul'dan before it's like the end boss of the expansion?
If I could predict where they're going to put the story, I would have been disappointed with Warlords of Draenor a lot sooner than I was. Am I excited? We were talking about this the other day, just BSing and mumble, and I feel like going into this expansion, I'm usually really hyped up, but I'm so jaded from such BS expansions that I've had to deal with before. I don't know. I've been disappointed with so much story, but I feel like the first time you went to your first county fair and there's a haunted house.
Yeah.
And you were so amped up to go in there, but you knew it was going to scare the crap out of you. But you were still excited and kind of nervous. That's sort of where I am, like just sort of peeking around doorways. What's over there? Is it going to get me? I don't know. I'm just kind of really jaded, I guess is the best word. So I'm waiting to see.
Do you feel you're kind of purposefully then setting your own expectations relatively low so that you are more likely to be surprised than just let down?
That's my motto for everything. I haven't watched a movie that I didn't like that everybody else hated because they expected it to be awesome or whatever. I try not to get too amped up about it, but there are some things I am excited about and there's some things I'm not. So, you know, I'm just holding back.
You know, that's a fair thing to say, and all things considered, I mean, while the last few weeks, especially with the pre-Legion events, the hype has been very strong because we're now fighting the Burning Legion and everything like that. I would say in the couple months leading up to the expansion, there are people that still had their reservations because, of course, everyone remembers Warlords of Draenor, and people are still kind of sour about garrison this, garrison that, and content drought here and there. Belle, where are you coming from heading into Legion as far as your own hype?
You know, because I've played since Alpha, I think that might have skewed my vision, and I think everything is awesome, but also with the guild, I haven't really been able to kind of take a deeper look at it. I mean, it's been amazing to play through in beta alpha while doing the content information for it. And I have to say that I get where a lot of people were coming from with Warlords of Draenor. I personally didn't have a whole lot of issue. There were some things that I disliked, but I think one of the unique things that Blizzard has is the ability for redemption. And I think that you can fall from grace, you know, from one expansion. I also didn't fancy Cataclysm. The State of Warlocks was enough to where I quit playing for 6 months. Yeah, I quit playing for 6 months during Cata because I couldn't deal with it. I shut my computer down and was like, I'm done. I'm not dealing with this at all. And I think that if anybody could be the comeback kid per se, I think it is Blizzard. And I think that this, I've been telling people the last couple months that I feel like Legion is an apology expansion, which is why they're kind of throwing so much our way. Like, hi, we really screwed up in Warlords and we're sorry for Ashran. Here, have all of these great things, you know? So I'm more amped, I think, than probably since Lich King, because there's so many, the maps really, everything is just so superior in this expansion that I literally am on pins and needles, just ready. I'm ready for it to be live.
Have all of you participated in the beta to some extent? Have any of you not?
Yep.
Yeah, I have.
Okay. I'm curious, as far as based on your beta experience, does it, what's your general takeaway from what you've experienced on the beta? Does it seem like another WoW expansion, or has there been anything in particular that you've encountered on the beta that makes you realize that, hey, you know, they're actually doing something different. There's something special going on here. And just for the sake of the rest of this episode, we'll try to generally stay away from lore spoilers because we're all about to dive into the lore and the story of the game. So let's try to stay away from like big lore spoilers as far as our beta experience goes. But Rich, is there anything you could take away from your beta experience?
Yeah, I'd start with without spoiling the lore, just the lore in general. I think that while Blizzard has always done a great job of crafting stories, coming from Myst and then into Warlords, while there certainly were some epic storylines, some of the end questing in Draenor was really well done, the scale of it with Legion is, I mean, this is kind of what a lot of people thought was going to be the end. This is what a lot of people thought would be the last expansion. And I think that it was said well by the other panelists that they're really throwing a lot at us as an apology, or as we're going to get this one right. They understand some of the problems they had with Warlords. So you can get that pretty early on, the sense of scale. I would add to that that while I'm very happy with the class changes and how they're going to be augmented, you know, they're simplified yet again, but yet then they'll add some complexity with the artifact weapons. I think that's a great change. And some of the class changes are really, in my opinion, just off the charts well done. But I'm really skeptical about the artifacts long term. I mean, we know that they're not going to extend past this expansion, but so we're kind of doing the Garrison thing again. We're going to get something, get used to it, and then we're going to get to a point where they're going to go away. So I certainly have some trepidations, but I do. You can definitely feel, even in the limited amount of the beta that I've played, that they're really putting a sense of scale that we haven't ever seen before. Maybe the Lich King, they tried that, but with technology that didn't exist like it does today. Right. So it's almost like this could be the expansion, when we look back on it, that will be favorably compared to the Wrath of Lich King, which is the one that kind of everyone goes to now. It's the go-to. That was the best expansion for most people. This could be the first one that really trumps that as far as story and scale.
Bell, what are your takeaways from playing on the beta?
You know, outside of the maps, which I've been super vocal on Twitter, I literally am in love. If I could just move to the Broken Isles, I would be a happy camper. I think I do agree in regards to the artifact weapon. I think it's really frustrating from expansion to expansion that we put so much into one thing only to see it not be relevant. But then again, I have to realize that that is kind of the nature of change and evolution when it comes to a new focus each expansion. So I guess in that regard, we kind of take the good from the bad. But if I had to take one takeaway, I think it would probably be the integration of the world quests. They kind of took dailies and took the elements that we liked there and made it where literally even 2 months down the line, it's going to be really difficult for people to say, I don't have anything to do, because kind of everything is set on ever changing and constant adding. That's of course, assuming that continues to be the case. We got told we were going to get several patches, and that in fact didn't happen in Warlords. They said, just kidding, you're going to be stuck with these three raids, and that's going to be your life until we're done with Legion. So as long as I think Blizzard delivers on extended promises beyond just launch, I think this could be pretty in the same league as Lich King, in my opinion.
So we're 2 for 2 so far on relative optimism here. I feel like we need to bring it down a notch here. Mike.
I knew it.
How do you feel about the Legion beta up to this point? I know you've talked about it a little bit on your show.
How do I feel about it? I avoided it for the most part. Mm-hmm. I had access back for the alpha or whatever too, like a lot of us did, but I really just wanted to know about the class changes, what I was going to be facing as a player, because I don't have a ton of time anymore to dedicate to being amazing anymore, I guess. So I have to pick and choose my battles when I do get to log in anymore. So I focused on the class changes specifically to Holy Paladin. And after that, I'm with Bell and I ran off. I just tried to figure out how hard is it going to be to learn to mine, jewel crafting, the professions that I have on my paladin.
Did you like the profession quests that you ran into?
Yes, okay. I actually did. I hate questing. I'm the guy who hates questing. Mm-hmm. I hate doing it. I can't stand it. The invasions, although invasive, are amazing because I don't have to quest to level. So I love that too. But it's the zones are beautiful. Absolutely. That was the only other thing that I was completely taken with, was the zone designs. It's not, doesn't feel like super overdone. Like when running around MOP was kind of, oh, wow, the scale of this mountainside is sort of absurd. Like, how do I get around this? And I don't know. It seems to make sense, the lay of the land, the way everything looks. It's beautiful. They really did a great job on it. I spent a long time running around until I fell into Suramar and got killed repeatedly. And then I ported myself back out of there after I figured out what had happened.
But, the map of death, yes, is what I call it. It's the map of death.
It was a... That was probably the most I could take from it, was that it was just simply beautiful. The zone look, feel, sound. I'm a big ambience guy when I play. It sounds weird, but yeah, I like that a lot. But other than that, all the little pop-up windows that happen when people need to talk to me, I kind of hate that.
You're not a big fan of the talking heads.
No, I skip that as much as I can. I'll just read my chat box.
Interesting, because I've heard a lot of people, you know, say that the talking heads thing is kind of cool, and for some people it makes them nostalgic for, you know, the days of Warcraft 3 when those campaign quests kind of did some of the same thing. Seraphita, how about you? What's your beta experience been like?
I didn't really get to play that much of the beta. Mm-hmm. Lore is generally my favorite part of the story, but I didn't want to spoil myself of everything.
Gotcha.
So mostly I was just checking out the class halls.
Yeah, I mean, most of my beta experience, I'm kind of right with you. It's the reason why I'm asking all of you these questions is because while I played the beta somewhat, I mainly did the artifact experience on my warlock for all three specs because I wanted to see what that was like, and I checked out my class hall. But as far as checking out the zones and the actual leveling content itself, I have, for the most part, stayed away from those zones because I want to be fresh for me. And I just haven't had the, much like Mike, I haven't had the time that I had in years past to where I could have really done any serious beta testing.
Getting old, man.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. So speaking of zones, one question that I had put on Twitter, the previous week, I asked people which zone are they going to go to first, and I got a variety of answers just kind of looking at the early breakdown of the poll so far. It seems pretty spread across the board. A lot of people said it depends on where my profession quests start. For some people, they have certain lore reasons that they want to go to one zone over another. This is kind of a short, brief question, but just really quick here, in Seraphita, since you're big about the lore, I'm just curious, which zone are you going to start in first and why?
Definitely Suramar. It was a huge part of the War of the Ancients, and so like I have like this mental image of it, and so I really want to see if my mental image matches up with the developer's vision of how it translates in game.
So here is a sign that we know that Seraphita has not played much of the beta.
I was literally just going to say you took the words out of my mouth.
I just checked out the class halls and the quests for getting your artifact weapons because I really loved the lore behind all of them. I didn't pay much attention to the zones.
Not a problem. The thing about Suramart, so Suramart is designed to be just a max level questing zone, so we don't even get to go to Suramart really till we hit 110. All the other zones are going to be scaled to level and all that stuff. But it's interesting that you bring that up because, for me personally, I was kind of almost in the same boat. Like, I kind of wish when I saw the description of the zones and the story that's going on in each of the zones, Suramar is the one that felt most appealing to me. And I almost feel like that's a reason that they have made it the end zone because it has the most going on with it that has a very different feel to it going on. While each of these other zones, Rich, would it be fair to say that when you've looked at these other zones, it almost feels like each of these other zones is paying homage to a previous expansion and an environment from there?
Absolutely. And for me, just to segue, Stormheim. I mean, it wasn't even close.
Mm.
When we were talking about, you know, coming out of Northrend, I always said, we used to joke around about if I could move my garrison early on, and Warlords talked about if we could actually pick your garrison up and move it. I said, man, put it somewhere in Northrend. You know, let me somewhere on the Citadel. You know, and being able to go back and kind of relive the whole Viking theme and the Halls of Valor and the Titan Keepers and my understanding is that we're going to learn the fate of the Vikrolls when they left Northrend. And there's just a lot of lore there that I'm very interested in. So that alone, I don't even care if the quests are bad. I mean, just because what it is and the lore and what it's going to look like, I'm there for sure.
Yeah, it's tying up a lot of loose ends for a lot of the storylines that we've run into in the past.
It feels like Chronicle is really required reading for Legion, based on some of the story threads I've seen that are going to be introduced in Legion. And a lot of it ties into some of the things that were expounded upon in Chronicle. So we got Stormheim from Rich. Seraphie is definitely looking forward to Suramar. Belle, where are you diving into first when you log on your main character and you get your artifact quest out of the way, your class hall's done? What's your first zone of choice?
Now, originally, I was in Seraphita's boat. I was keen to just hop into Suramar, and then, of course, I went there and realized it is, in fact, the Map of Death, and I then realized that I was going to have to change it up. But I think it's kind of a toss-up. There's a lot of elements that I liked about High Mountain, and I think I'm a little bit different than all of you, actually. Although I love the lore, I'm really superficial in that regard. I really just want to be immersed visually. I do like the story, but that's kind of not what gets me at the end of the day. It's really the visuals. But if I had to make a choice, I'd probably say Val'Shaar.
All right. Because
it's beautiful. Absolutely. It's druid in nature, which is the opposite of what I am because I'm a warlock. And I guess opposites attract, but it's very, very beautiful.
Well, there's a nice little corrupted area of Val'Shaar that can speak to your inner warlock for sure.
There is, and it does.
Mike, how about you? Any zone in particular you want to check out first?
What I want to do and what I'm going to have to do are two different things.
I am
on the board with the crew that says, well, this is where my profession is taking me first. So I do know I'm on board with Rich with Stormheim. So that's my favorite zone, but it'll be my last one. I'm saving the best for last. So I'm going to start in Azuna and go clockwise.
Gotcha. And for me, even though I wish I could do Suramar earlier, I'm going to be starting in Azuna, partially because it just feels like of the four zones, the one that I should tackle first, and also because I may have done a little studying and min-max checking on profession quests and found out that the engineering profession quests early on requires you to go to Azuna, so... Yeah, I'm surprised, that guy.
I'm surprised no one. I think Bell mentioned High Mountain. You know, in when we look back at like Grizzly Hills, that was a favored zone for a lot of people, and I really get a really strong Grizzly Hills vibe out of High Mountain. So I bet that's going to be pretty popular as well.
I agree with you, and that's probably why I loved High Mountain is because I was a huge fan of Grizzly Hills. And there's a part where super. I mean, it's all High Mountain. Obviously, that's the name of the zone, but there's a Mount Everest type of mountain where you can walk from one side to the other on a super thin rope bridge. and it's snowing really bad, and the visuals of being up there makes you kind of feel like you're on Mount Everest. So I really liked what they did with that zone.
Nice. Kind of reminds me of what they did with the mountainous areas in Kun Lai.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, moving on here, it sounds like we each kind of have our own plan, and I feel like one thing that's good about this whole thing with just the scaling content and such is that everyone's going to have their own starting zone of choice, and I think that's going to help out as far as load balancing and that goes. Not everyone's going to be all bottlenecked in one location except for that very beginning in Dalaran.
No Khadgar bubbles?
Yeah. I think the first, it's going to be interesting seeing the class halls and everyone doing their class quests, and I'm hoping that there aren't too many bottlenecks for people doing their first artifact quests and such like that, but there's been plenty of testing for those quest lines. I don't think it's going to be that big of an issue. One thing that I do want to talk about quite a bit is something that I mentioned at the top of the show, in that Legion is a very different beast for the dev team, or at least that's what they're claiming. Just several days ago at Gamescom, the assistant game director Ian Hazacostas had made it pretty clear that the goal going forward is to not worry about putting expansions faster, and then not trying to cut the time between one expansion and another to a year and a half or a year, but rather put out the expansion when it's ready, but at the same time, make sure that players in the current expansion have a steady stream of content. Now, actions speak louder than words, of course. And we've already seen from their actions that they're saying, hey, look, before Legion even launches, we're telling you right now, 7.1, you're returning the Karazhan. It's going to be on the PTR shortly after Legion goes live. They have a plan in motion, and it feels like a good start. One thing that I'm wondering is not necessarily us predicting, are they going to be able to hold to their promise? Because really, that's up for them to really dictate. But for you personally, and Belle, let's start with you. What kind of content pacing would you like to see in Legion? How much content do you want to see, and how often do you want to see it added to the game?
I thought that it was really nice of them to say that they wanted to switch their focus. I think when they first said in Warlords, they had said, you know, we want to do the expansions every year, year and a half. I think everybody was really excited. Yay, new stuff more often. But I think what they didn't realize in that regard is it's really difficult for them to develop a really in-depth, good content flow of an expansion in a year and a half. So assuming they keep their promise, I think if they continuously release content in a very well-paced manner, I know that I do not want to be fighting Garrosh for 2 years ever again in the history of ever.
No one does.
Yeah, I never want to have to go through that again. Whenever someone mentions Siege, I literally do an eye roll. I cannot, my heart can't take that. I think if they uphold and they not just doing a month in between, you know, I think giving the allotment for the rating progression, and I'm not talking about these guys that clear, you know, world first in the first week. I'm talking about regular raiders that do raid things on a normal level. I think if they maintain that, I'm going to be pretty happy. I would not mind sitting in a great expansion for a long time if there's new content being added to it. If Legion is everything we think it's going to be and they spend 2 years adding to the content, I will never complain as long as there's something new to do. But if they think that they need to be releasing more because people are QQing on the forums, I think doing, you know, a month of one raid and then a month of another raid, they're really just kind of congesting the content. And with all the options they have in Legion, I think that they would do well just to continue to space it out. I was nervous when they announced the Karazhan. I thought that was awesome, but it made me nervous because it feels like in the generating of hype, they're putting the cart before the horse. And if they could just not do that, that'd be great.
I am reminded of Mists of Pandaria, and a lot of people state that Mists of Pandaria had, up until Siege of Orgrimmar, or as people called it, Siege of Borgrimmar after it lasted a year. Mists of Pandaria had one of the best content release paces of pretty much all of WoW. Although some people did kind of turn their nose up at the fact that they got into Terrace of Endless Spring, and then it felt like, and or rather they did Moshan Terrace and it went from Mogoshan Terrace to Heart of Fear. I think the jump from that raid to that raid was like too quick. It felt like content was almost going too fast. With Return to Karazhan, they've mentioned that there's going to be a small raid, and I would imagine by small, maybe it's like two or three boss encounters, probably something like that, which is supposed to finish up the Stormheim quest line, and that's supposed to happen before we get Nighthold and the whole fight to beat Gul'dan. Rich, does it feel to you like we're seeing a repeat of Mists of Pandaria? Are we going to see the pendulum swing the other way where players are saying, whoa, too much, too fast, slow down?
Well, I think one thing that the players have proven time and time again to the Warcraft developers is it's impossible to gauge how fast they can consume content. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that. And I think it's interesting that we're seeing, and you alluded to this, a 180 reversal on some official statements that Warcraft made not two and a half years ago regarding right. We want to turn around expansions in 18 months. They've really walked that back. I think that's okay to do that. I'm glad they've done that. And they've now taken the approach of, hey, they're front loading some stuff right now. We know that. This Karazhan stuff going on the PTR, they've been developing that for a long time. So they certainly have they're coming out of the gate with a head start, and the hope there is they can stay ahead of the curve, and I think that's the hope. For me personally, I have a pretty low bar. As my good friend and co-host Dustin Turley said last week, no boss should celebrate a birthday as the boss in the game. That's what happened with Garrosh. If we can keep that from happening, I'm pretty happy, and I think a lot of us altaholics probably feel that way, because I don't consume content as fast as a lot of people do, but the fact is there are people out there that are going to be tapping their foot on the floor saying, where's my content, 4 months from now? And what the devs have done is they said, hey, we've already got one in the chamber, and that's Karazhan coming in 7.1. What does that mean after the first 6 or 8 months of the expansion? That still remains to be seen, because we've had these droughts in almost every expansion. I believe it started, as I recall, it started with ICC taking 9 months. We thought that was a long time. And then Garrosh came in and had a birthday through Mist. So I think it's going to be interesting to see. It's a tough challenge, and I don't think the devs are going to take it lightly. But I think they know now, and I'm not sure that up until Legion, until they got through Warlords, that they really realized this approach we've been taking is not the right one. So they're on the right track. I think we got to give them a chance.
Mike, what's your thought about content pacing?
I was one of the guys that was extremely PO'd when we're looking at another year's worth of the same content with HFC. Just, I mean, how do you keep a raid team together? It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
And be able to keep people moving. And you got to constantly bring new people in because people, I don't want to do this for another 5 months. I'm out.
And then Blizzard puts out other games that attract them over there.
And I did jump on the Overwatch bandwagon. It was a lot of fun. It was a nice space filler for once for me, but it's I figured every 5 months, if they could release a new tier every 5 months, I assume we got three right now, we know for sure, and hopefully
an interesting thing, a debate though, because there's some people, I'm already seeing some people getting all semantics about it, because some people are kind of butthurt about the fact that they thought that Nighthold and Emerald Nightmare were going to come out all at once at launch, and now that Blizzard sprang out, so Nighthold won't even be open until like the very beginning of next year. I think Nighthold's scheduled to be in January. They're like, well, does this mean Nighthold's the second tier, and is that the second tier of the expansion? Does that mean we have an entire raid that doesn't actually have tier sets? And some people are already whining. There, of course, going to be some portion of the player base that's never satisfied with everything like that. But I think Nighthold is supposed to feel like basically the second half of the first tier. It just doesn't come out till later.
People just need to calm their tits a little bit. It's going to be just fine. You got 55 bosses just in five mans.
Yeah, that's more than the entirety of Warlords of Draenor.
Right, that's a lot of bosses. I mean, not including, what is there, like 9 in
Karazhan?
I think that includes the five mans, 9 in Karazhan. But yeah. I mean, like the raids themselves. What is there? 1 with 4, another 1 with 5. I can't remember what all. I just went over this on our last show too. But there's a lot of bosses and different content. I mean, you've got all these different progression paths you can take just in five mans. If you're bored with raid, you can go do five mans and still get another progression path. That's kind of a unique twist they put on this expansion. So,
especially with the whole Mythic Plus system going stuff, that stuff is supposed to be, you know, challenging and potentially as rewarding as doing raid content.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I don't know why everybody gets so upset about when's the raid tier going to be this or that. How is it going to be tied together? You'll get some content. It sounds like they're going the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the spacing goes, they shoved it down our throats in Warlords. I mean, we were struggling to try to clear a zone before the next one came out. We're just a pretty average guild. But it just, I hated that pacing of ram it, here, get the next one, go, go, go. I'm like, man, I just want to take a little break. Just kick back in my lawn chair for a little bit and drink a Coors Light or something. But no, it was here's the next tier, go get it.
Yeah, I understand that feeling, and especially nowadays, since I do find myself pulled in multiple directions when it comes to games I play, Blizzard and otherwise, I'm the kind of person who has no problem with the pacing not being boom, 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 but at the same time not dragging out for a year. There is a happy medium. So far, it seems like that happy medium is being aimed for. We'll see how that all turns out. Content and the amount of content doesn't seem to be necessarily an issue, at least for the first several months of the expansion. One thing I do know is that while it seems like they're throwing everything at us, including the kitchen sink, in terms of lore, in terms of different systems and such, you know, world quests, we're going to be wielding famous artifacts and such in some cases. Yet, like I said, there's always that portion of the player base, and maybe, you know, a portion of each of us that feels like, well, what about this? So I want to go around the room here and start with Belle and just not necessarily, I don't want to necessarily approach this from a negative view, but I'm based on everything that we've seen so far about Legion, what we know that we're getting up to this point. Do you feel like there is something that you want to see added in these first two or three content patches in terms of content? Not necessarily, I mean, it could be story related, it could be game systems related. I have a feeling I know what Mike's going to say, but Bella, how about you first? Is there anything that WoW is missing right now that you want to see brought into the game?
Yeah, I want to kill Jaina. If that could be
if that
could be an option, my life would be literally complete. I've been dying to kill her since the moment I met her. I'd love to kill her.
You and Serafina would not get along well. Have you seen Serafina's avatar?
She's a better Jaina, though. Literally, if we could just replace them two, that would be great. I would totally be keen for Serafina to replace her, and I would not even mind. And I'm full alliance. I bleed blue, so I literally cannot stand her. Honestly, and this is gonna seem like it's out of kind of left field, I want to see some focus on guilds. I think that it's always been something that's been lacking, and unfortunately, like I have to have two guilds because we maxed the first one, and we still keep it kind of really a small community, even with it being so large. I think that that's a focus and an element that Blizzard always forgets about, and it really pisses me off. The reason being is because guilds are the backbone of our players. These are how our players stay active during LoL contents. All of my guildies will tell you they only sub because of the guild. Had it not been for the community that people build within the game, they wouldn't see half of the dollar signs that they see on the low content or in between expansions and things like that. I really feel frustrated that they never put into, they only seem to take away. They took away a bunch of things, which is fine. I don't want your cash flow perk. You can take that. That's fine. You took away our mass res. Oh, whoop-de-doo. I'm going to cry about it. But literally, where's the thought process being put into the guilds to give people a reason? What's the purpose for being in a guild now? Because I can't think of one because Blizzard's taken them all away and not given us anything to there's been nothing added to it. Where's the guild hall? How come that's not a thing? Literally, we did garrisons for a freaking year. Why don't we have a guild hall? Why don't we have... People have been
asking for guild halls for a really long time.
A long time.
World of Warcraft is one of the few games like this left that doesn't have a guild hall of some sort or tools to better help guildies as a guild master. Give me the ability to be able to teleport to a guildie to help my guildie. Something. Give us some type of thing besides a chat. Great, you gave us a chat. Where's the community? Where's the connectivity? If you could please stop ignoring the guilds, that would be great. I'm going to picket line at BlizzCon for some content to be added to guilds. But literally, I want to see some love for the guilds, and I want to see new things.
Mike, I think you found a new regular guest for Stopcast.
Oh my God, I worship her as it is. But yeah, you won me over. That's.
It's funny that Bell brought all this stuff up because, Mike, I was expecting you to go big onto the guild bandwagon.
Well, it's so neglected, unbelievably neglected. When they took away Have Group Will Travel, I was flipping desks. It was so stupid. I understand from a world PvP thing, they're like, oh, people are getting their you know, turds pushed in. It's kind of a bad thing. I mean, yeah, I played on a PvP server when we had that. It was a lot of fun. But it to take away. I mean, they give you a little bit, and then they rip it away again. Why can't I name my ranks or give my guild members titles?
Yes,
and have it within some sort of profanity filter where I can't just say the things I would normally call them in my mumble. But it's some fun things that we can have for each other with each other. I mean, Belle pretty much covered most of what I would have said anyway, so good for her. But it's just, God, give us some freaking love, man. Like she said, we spend so much money. How many people stayed on? And everybody's here. In all of our guilds, how many people stayed on just for that community alone? Mm-hmm. Because they wanted to hang out. Like, I raid Tuesday, Thursday. Nobody logs in except for Tuesday, Thursday. We all log on. We have a great time. We drink. We swear. We wipe. We do all that fun stuff. That's what we do. That's like our bowling league. That's it.
Yeah.
You're welcome for our $15 a month. Give us some extra guild features.
Seraphie, are you going to hop on the guild soapbox also, or is there anything else that you might think that WoW's missing? I mean, if everyone wants to hop on the guild soapbox, that's fine.
I'd like to see more storyline for certain characters. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so much for certain characters, like Tyrande, Malfurion, Jaina, even Maeve.
No Jaina.
That's strictly in the WoW books.
Right.
You know, and it's just like, people rag on these characters for things that they do in the game, and it's like, you don't have the full story without reading the books. And I'd like to see, you know, the lore books, yeah, they're important, they're great and everything. I love reading them, and I love writing about them, but I want to see more of that translated into the game.
It would be kind of cool if they took some of the stories from the books and translated them into, say, Caverns of Time dungeon instances.
Exactly.
They haven't used the Caverns of Time since late Cataclysm.
Yeah. Like, I'd really like to see that.
Rich, anything in particular that you're looking for as far as, like, systems or just content-wise? What would you like to see introduced into Legion that we haven't gone yet? I know one thing that you'd like to fight for is a single currency for everything.
Single currency. But, you know, I've got to jump on the bandwagon because since episode 11, 2011, in fact, our crusade has been housing in guild halls.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beyond comprehension why we don't have those and why guilds have been treated the way that they have. Not only have we not gotten anything, but they've taken away. And you know, you guys have covered all that, but that's something. As you three are talking about it, I'm just thinking, I love these people. They're my people. Because that's exactly, we've had this discussion. I mean, a month doesn't go by where this doesn't come up with some type of a blue sky discussion for us on Horde for Life, and that's because it's such a huge gap to me. It's this omission of, and they tease with the garrisons. I feel like that had the potential to be that. And it's really disheartening. And I still go back to comments made in 2010, 2011, where they said, oh, we're not opposed to housing. We're not opposed to housing. I think Tom Chilton said that. And I said, but it has to have a cool gameplay mechanic. Well, you know, some things do need a cool gameplay mechanic, and that's what the garrisons were. But
to begin with,
you don't have to have. Sometimes a wheel is just fine as a wheel, and you don't have to make it a different shape because it works.
Yeah.
And housing, the way that it's been done in other MMOs, works.
Have you guys heard of the follow-up kind of to Ultima Online, the Shroud of the Avatar MMO that Lord British is putting out, and people are just going bananas over it because they're able to claim housing right now before the game's like officially launched and everything?
Right.
It's just amazing how important housing can be to people, to claim a part of the world as your own.
Yeah, and you know, and that's a hallmark of a lot of the older, like the first generation MMOs, mm-hmm. Asheron's Call, Ultima Online. You could actually stake out land before instancing became a thing.
Yeah,
and that could present problems, but those problems don't exist now. It'd be very easy, and it would not take a lot of the dev time to create a housing system, even similar to what EverQuest does, where it's literally just a phased instance. Mm-hmm. And to have that ability to then, and I would argue that maybe the guild halls are as or more important, because we have all these limitations in the guild right now, and I think it's already been said, but it's basically just a green wall of text. And if you want to have more than 1,000 people, you got to go get a mod called Greenwall just to be able to have conversations with a game that has millions of players. It should not be surprising or abnormal to think that you're going to have more than 1,000 people. And we run up against that, as there's a lot of guild leaders in this discussion, and we run into the same problems. And I don't understand why they've given zero love to housing and guilds.
The guild cap, you're going to make me rage. I've raged probably once a month on the show regarding the guild cap, because I understand their reasoning, but I think it's ridiculous for you to put a limit on my community. I find it offensive that you decided how many members my community should be strong when you don't care about my community because you don't put into the guilds whatsoever on your development side. So why would you put a cap on something that you clearly don't care anything about? Let me grow my community however I feel like I want to grow it. Why are you telling me I can only be friends with 1,000 people?
Yeah, and I don't want to hear the argument that's often made. First of all, there's two arguments. The one is, well, it'll take away from other dev time. We're not talking about art. Is the
Twitter? They had to develop Twitter. That was a lot of work. Remember?
Doing FaceTimes in my garrisons and sending out tweets is not a good use of developer resource. The voice over IP stuff they tried many years ago. The fact is that to fix that would not take a lot of work. In fact, when you're talking about dev time, art assets take disproportionately large amounts of time, you know, the lion's share of the time that's devoted to content. This is a mechanic thing that could be done very, very easily, and it's really a shame that they haven't done that. I mean, you got mod guys out there doing it. So you don't think that the Warcraft devs could do that in a patch cycle? It'd be a simple thing for them.
They could even make it look like a garrison, and I wouldn't complain. I wouldn't mind. You could literally copy the garrison template and make it for guilds, and I would not cry about it. I would be happy. You're right. It's really easy, and I don't understand it.
It's just not a priority to them. You know, there's a whiteboard somewhere in Irvine, and it's got a bunch of stuff on it in their dev backlog, and it's way, way, way down the list. And there's just every time new things come up and plus bugs, it just gets. I'm sure there are people at Blizzard that want both of those things, but it has no political capital, and it's really low on the priority chart. And until that changes, until there's some political capital that can be spent within the devs, it's not going to happen. And yeah, it's beyond me, because everybody I talk to, even the people that are like, well, I don't know how much I use it, but man, it does sound kind of cool. I mean, how many people aren't in a guild? Most people are in a guild. And
I mean, after all, you need to have that cool tabard.
Right. Yeah. I feel like I'm going to lobby after this recording. I feel like I'm going to go to the Capitol and I'm going to lobby. I might make a video and send it to somebody that won't care and probably won't watch it. But
I just want to say one last thing about guilds, and then I'll drop it. And that's because this is something that I think a lot of people can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
I do a show with two co-hosts, Christine and Dustin. We are good friends. We have been in the same guild for years. We've never seen each other in game.
Wow.
Because we play at different times. Dustin doesn't raid. I like to PvP. Christine does transmog runs. We don't ever see each other. We see each other because of the green wall and because I have a chatter mod that colors her name, mm-hmm. right? Whereas if you had a guild hall, you would see these people on a daily basis. You want to talk about social interaction? You want to talk about the ability to hang out together? I've never been in the same place with all three of them. I've been with each of them individually, but to get us all three in a room, we don't all three transmog, so it doesn't happen. We don't all three race, so it doesn't happen. We don't all three PvP, so it doesn't happen. Having a guild hall would allow you to meet people. I have people in my guild that I feel like I know intimately well. I talk to them all the time. I talk to them in game. I talk to them in Slack. I talk to them on battle.net. I have no idea what their character looks like.
Immersion, I think, is your point too, right? Yeah. They changed our class because they wanted the full immersion experience with the class fantasy. I can't think of anything immersion more than actually, I wouldn't say RP, I'm not really an RPer, but can you imagine the guilds that do RP, but in an immersion factor, how real would that seem to physically be with your guildies? I think you hit the nail on the head there.
I want to be optimistic and think that the whole concept of class halls could be a testing ground for doing something along the lines of a guild hall.
I feel like it. Yeah. It seems like it's got a whole completely different purpose.
Yeah, gathering up players that share a common bond, in this case being class. They could easily, if they have the technology to only have players in one spot based on class, you would imagine they can have players in one spot based on guild, instance for them and all that stuff. So I would say don't rule it out just yet. And, they need to keep one or two, aces in the hole, as it were. And I feel like it's just a matter of time. Hopefully it's sooner than later. Moving on, I want to talk a little bit about story here, and this will give Seraphita a little more time to talk while everyone else has been talking about guilds and stuff. Just talking about the story that we know so far up to this point in Legion, with all the pre-Legion events and everything like that. We already know that thanks to the events on the Broken Shore, the Alliance and the Horde have been drastically changed. You now have a young king on the throne who lost his father after critting a Fel Reaver for 3 million mega damage. You have a war chief for the Horde that I would feel like a lot of characters within the story and the lore of WoW, a lot of characters can't necessarily be too happy about having Sylvanas Windrunner as the war chief of the Horde. And when we first, some of this information was kind of leaked and spoilerish and stuff like that, and a lot of us knew some of this months before Legion actually launched. And I have to wonder, starting with you, Seraphita, how do you feel about the new status quo that's being established here in terms of the lore, especially in regards to the state of the Alliance and the Horde, and how they are at each other's throats, apparently, while still dealing with the biggest threat that Azeroth has ever faced?
Well, I've kind of been campaigning for Sylvanas as Warchief since Burning Crusade.
Ah.
So I was really excited. I wish that Vol'jin had been able to do more as Warchief. Mm-hmm. Like, he inherited a really big mess, and I would have liked to see the trolls come out of the slums of Orgrimmar and, you know, nicer things happen for that area. But obviously we had to help Draenor, so he didn't have a lot of time to take care of Garrosh's mess. I think it's going to cause some interesting problems, because not just Jaina's issues with the Horde, but also Ghen Greymane. We know that he and Sylvanas have a very long history of a lot of hatred between them. And so I think that is going to cause a rift within the Alliance itself and between the Alliance and the Horde as we try to take down the Legion together. But I think Anduin, although he is young and I don't think he's quite ready to be king, he will grow into it quickly. And I think he's going to be a really good king, honestly. Like, he definitely wants what is best, not just for his own people, but for Azeroth as a whole. And I think that's really going to come through.
It's interesting. It's interesting that you bring that up, because the comic for Anduin that was released, there is a portion of it that shows what is very likely Anduin's future, and I'm not going to go too much into detail on that.
Yeah, I read the comic.
Right. But...
Well, I didn't. Now I want to know.
So, it basically... semi-spoiler for the Anduin comic, guys, but not for the game itself. The very last few panels of the Anduin comic show him as being a much older king preparing to do one final battle against whoever they're fighting. It's implied it's the Burning Legion, but it could be something else. So we know that Anduin's supposed to live a long time and be High King. That said... I wonder if they're going to throw us a curveball, considering that there is that tension between Anduin and Jaina, considering that Gen is definitely out for blood, as it were, even if it's undead blood. Something makes me feel like there's going to be enough friction within the Alliance leadership that I wouldn't be surprised if someone tried to make a power play to... tell Anduin, hey, step aside, you're not ready, let me handle things. Mike, how do you feel about the current leaders of the factions?
Well, as far as somebody trying to overthrow Anduin, I mean, on that line, I think with Velen as a very, very qualified mentor, I don't think that would ever happen.
That's a good point.
Anduin has a very strong backbone that I think a lot of people don't realize. He did stand up to his father quite a few times.
Oh, yeah. He's got that daddy's stubborn little eyebrow, I guess.
Yeah.
And he did take out a demon pretty hard in that comic.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Anduin definitely does have a bit of the wolf in him. Rich, do you have any thoughts about, like, the current state of, as far as, like, the lore and the story goes heading into Legion? Do you like how things are being shaken up and it feels like the dev team, the creative team is going full Game of Thrones on WoW?
Oh, you just took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say, I think they watched Game of Thrones and thought, well, hey, this must work, so let's try it. A couple opinions. Vol'jin, I think he was gone too soon. I know it had to happen because you can't really – it doesn't work. But, you know, we didn't see enough of him. He didn't get – I feel like he got the short end of the War Chief stick. But, hey, long live – or I guess if she's undead, she can't live. Long reign, Sylvanas. And we had an emailer – we had an email that wrote in last week, and he said, for the Alliance, hail King Hogger. It can't be any worse than Anakin Skywalker or whatever his name is there in Stormwind. Right?
Oh, wow.
I had to do it. Come on.
I mean, I'm sure Hogger could be a better king or war chief than Basic Campfire, at least. So.
I don't know. Basic Campfire is pretty hot.
Ouch.
No, I love what they're doing. I think the devs are taking – I love that they're taking chances. Mm-hmm. And I know when we first heard some of the lore stuff that's happening in Legion, we were like, wow, really? Okay, that's that. I think that's a departure. You kind of thought that they follow the same old storytelling that a lot of classic movies or books do, and not necessarily going in those directions to killing off characters and make these wholesale changes. I, for one, am glad to see it. And I think really any of us, whether you're a Horde or Alliance or a fan of Varian or Sylvanas or whoever, I think just it may not be the thing that you want to happen, but you got to like the fact that they'll take chances. Because it means that down the road they may take a chance that will just turn the thing up on its ear. And it's nice to have that feeling that, well, nothing is really sacred. Nothing is really safe. So we never know what I'm going to get coming into to the next expansion, and I'm always. It makes me really look forward to the things they're going to do with the story now. Whereas before, I just kind of thought, well, I know I kind of have an idea what they're going to do. Now you just don't know.
Yeah, you bring up a good point because as it was mentioned, I think by one of you earlier on in this episode, this feels like the expansion that would be endgame for World of Warcraft, right? The Burning Legion making a full-on invasion of Azeroth. It's like all the chips are on the table. It's time for the big game. And it makes you wonder, and I don't really want to speculate on what's next yet, but it does make you wonder, how do you top the Legion? And there are hints about it in the Chronicle.
I don't think that they were thinking that far ahead. I mean, I think ultimately, in my opinion, what they said is we've had some lackluster performance, sub numbers coming out of Warlords. It's time to stop sandbagging. Let's give them the best pitch we've got, to use a sports analogy. And let's show them what we can do, and maybe that'll get some goodwill. And I think that's a positive move. It's easy to sit here and say, well, they're not thinking. They're putting everything in the kitchen sink at us now. What are they going to do to top it? Who cares? Let's worry about that a couple of years from now. If their gamble here is that they can get those sub numbers back up to 7, 8, 9, whatever that number might be, then that's a gamble a risk that was worth taking, and it paid off. And then that's a good problem to have, is now we got 9 million people again. We got to figure out how to top it. They've got creative people. They'll figure something out. Right now, the most important thing is keep the game stable. And all of us that are still playing, we want that game to be stable, because it's because of what the things we've seen in the last 3 or 4 years that we have things like CRZ, right? Because they don't want to shut down servers. And there were servers that were literally ghost towns. So, they're going all in, and I like it. I think it's a good approach. It's a bit risky, but we're going to benefit from that.
Before we wrap up on this particular topic, Bill, any thoughts you have about the current state of things for both factions heading into this expansion?
You know, we've had a lot of discussion on the show from week to week about it. A lot of people write in and ask. A lot of people were really freaked out, and I think I agree with a bold move. And I think also ultimately, in order for you to be able to love a new generation of characters, I mean, realistically, we can't go 30 years with, Rin as king. Let's be honest. It's already been a really long time in game world. I think in order for us to be able to love new characters and to embrace that, I think the only way that that's going to happen is to kill off these guys. That's the only way that we as players will be able to let go, because we don't let go to anything. I don't know if you guys, I mean, we're gamers. We're literally holding on for dear life to characters that we love. As far as Horde, because I don't play Horde, and I don't particularly care for that part of the game, not saying I don't like it, I just, it's not something that I play. Mm-hmm. So unless it crosses my path in questing, I had a lot of respect for Bul'jin because of some of the content that we went through previously. Didn't see a lot out of him, unfortunately, but I had a lot of respect for him, even though I'm Alliance. So Sylvanas, I'm going to avoid saying anything because people seem to be very upset when I give my opinion about Sylvanas. I particularly don't care for her as being war chief. That's just a personal opinion. Do I know who could replace her? No, but I don't know. I feel like if Vol'jin said there was reasons he didn't trust her, I'm with you, bud. Like, if you didn't trust her enough and now you do, we're just going to have to wait.
Nobody trusted Sylvanas.
Yeah, we're just going to have to see kind of what she – I respected the fact that she wants to get revenge in Vol'jin's name. That kind of made me like her a little bit. But as far as Anduin goes, you guys have the leg up because I think you guys might be privy to things that I don't know about. Like, I didn't really pay too much attention to the comic outside of covering it for Pwncast. Lore's not really – I like it. It's just not my thing. Anduin is like any king to me. You're going to have to prove to me that you're my king. You don't just get the crown and I'm going to follow. You're going to have to show me that you have the balls to be my king, because that's what it takes for me as an Alliance player, for you to really lead my people if I'm to immerse myself there. But I think it's going to be interesting, and I think that they had to kind of kill all the things in order to make room for more and see some of the younger generation of our new leaders kind of take shape. And it's everything has its turn and season. And I think it's time for new.
I was really, really hoping that, knowing that Varian was going to die going in the Legion, I was so hoping that Sylvanas would have the opportunity to raise him as a Forsaken.
That's a theory, so you know I've seen lots of theories about that, because we didn't actually see a body. We seen explosion, right? But we didn't actually see...
He's got to be a jigsaw puzzle now. I mean,
Misdirection, guys. Misdirection. I don't ever discount anything in the eyes of Blizzard, because they're like soap operas. They will resurrect some weird, awkward way of somebody dying to make it work for their story, or retconning in something else.
I think we'll see Varian again. I just am not sure in what capacity it will be.
Yeah, another thing I've seen some people joked about is, well, this is a Burning Legion story, so Kael'thas Sunstrider has to come back in some form, like a disembodied brain inside a jar attached to a Fellreaver or something, you know?
Nice.
One more big topic before we head into wrapping things up here tonight. Talking a little bit more on current events and just rating and a bit more about gameplay mechanics and stuff. We've seen that the creative team is willing to make bold moves in terms of the story. We're also seeing that the dev team is attempting to make bold moves in terms of how we play and experience the game as far as gameplay goes. So what I'm referring to is several weeks ago, there was this whole thing over the max camera distance being pulled back and shortened so that you couldn't be zoomed all the way out and see everything, you know, from one end of a football field to another while you're fighting, you know, Archimonde or what have you. And there was a whole lot of controversy over that. And eventually, you know, the devs decided, okay, we're going to go back on what we said a little bit, but you're still going to have to type a console command to go that far out. We've seen just recently, just a matter of days ago, that they are making a move to restrict the use of certain parts of boss add-ons that allow you to gauge your position in relationship to other areas of a raid encounter, to other players, so on and so forth. Add-on authors are in an uproar over that because they got like no warning, advance warning of that. They put hours of work into basically getting nothing out of that. It feels like the dev team is attempting to make raiding more challenging. Rather than trying to add 20 mechanics on top of each other, they're trying to restrict how raiding is approached and handled from a visual point of view, so that players don't have to worry about 10 million different mechanics that they have to do. And so they're trying to limit things in another way. Starting with Mike, since I know you talk about raiding a fair bit on your show, how do you feel about these changes that the dev team are trying to make in terms of camera restrictions, in terms of add-on restrictions? Do you think that's healthy for raiding going forward, or do you think they should just back off and let things be how they've been?
No, I mean, you have to change your status quo once in a while. You got to stir the pot. So, I mean, as far as the camera thing went, I flipped out when I tried it on beta. I'm like, are you kidding me? I can see my own butt crack. This is too damn close. So that was a big deal for me. I mean, I was on the bandwagon right away for they're going to change it. They have to. This is too damn close. It's far too close. I mean, one of my tanks has some, I don't know what you call it, brain issues or something. He has a, I don't even know what you call it. He has seizures. Does he have epilepsy? Is that the word? Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So he has a reaction to a lot of spell mechanics that get nice and tight. I mean, God bless him for putting up with what he has to put up with just to raid. Mm. But he had a lot of hardships on beta just from that. So he was online pleading with the devs to change that too and raising that point. And I'm glad that he did. If anybody has an issue like that, they do need to speak up. Absolutely. Rather than just sit idle by and let this continue. So
yeah, I know quite a few people who suffer from seizures, both epileptic and non-epileptic. And, you know, they had issues with the new camera distance because of the spell effects, you know, triggering seizures for them. And I suffer from sensory overload issues. Mm. So having the camera that close and having the spell effects be so close to me, like, sends me into shutdown mode. Huh. And that can sometimes trigger a panic attack because there's just too much, you know, for my brain to really take in all at once. And so I just like shut down and go panic.
So for you, having the camera zoomed out isn't necessarily so that you can see, you know, mechanics and stuff coming at you with more warning and stuff like that. It's just so that you have a bit more wide open space so it doesn't feel like you have everything being thrown in your face simultaneously and causing
exactly.
you to freak out.
Gotcha. Yeah. It makes it easier for me to gauge my reaction and do things that I need to do in order to make sure that I can continue to play without, you know, causing any issues for myself.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I feel like they're trying to make the changes that they're making for in the spirit of making gameplay different, changing things up, just how they change up talents and stuff like that. But when it comes to these specific instances with the camera and such, I feel like they have to understand that their player base is very diverse, and a lot of people approach the game from and play the game in very different ways. Rich, what are your thoughts on the camera restrictions and even the add-on restrictions they're trying
to make? I think the add-ons to me are something that's really worth talking about. I mean, I feel sorry for the mod makers out there. They're talented people. They're rarely, if ever, paid. Most of them are doing it for the love of the game. And you know, they make some really great things. I mean, a lot of things that are part of the game now would probably not be in all likelihood would not be part of the game if not for a mod maker creating that and showing Blizzard how great this thing is. That being said, I feel like I'm a chronic drunk who's voting to restrict alcohol. Because, I mean, the mod restrictions, I think, are a good thing, but I'm an absolute mod junkie. And many times, I feel like it's more a matter of keeping up with what everybody else has. I've got to have this, because if I don't have GTFO, then they're not going to want me in the raid, you know, because I got to get out of that green stuff. I got to step out of the stupid in a half a second or I'm done. And so I think it's more about keeping up with everybody else than it is about really enhancing gameplay. So, as you know, and this could be, I'm not saying it is, but it could be the first foray into really starting to ratchet back some of these things. And ultimately, I think while there's no way that they're going to remove mods without a lot of fervor, a lot of angst, a lot of rabble and pitchforks and torches, I think ultimately when it all is settled, as long as everyone's on a more level playing field, I think you'll find that we'll all kind of get used to it. Now, how far they go, I don't know. I know people that still click to heal, that actually click on the spell and then click on the I mean, it's crazy. I don't know how you could do that. I have to have heal bot, period. You know, I mean, it's like, and I've grown accustomed to that, and that may be very lazy. And if they removed it, I'd be very unhappy. But you know what? I'd get used to it because I'm not going to quit playing over it. So it'd be interesting to see what they do. But I do believe this is the first time they've restricted mods that I think this is really the first real, we're going to take these mods away. And it's something that a lot of people feel enhances maybe not their gameplay, but their ability to do something in the game. And I'd be interested to see how far they take it.
What was that add-on back? Remember an ICC that
I was going to say. Yep, you're thinking too. My thing too. AVR was the name of it. And
screw that add-on.
Yeah, I feel like the dev team is probably thinking that just mod technology has come along so far that it feels like the mods are encroaching upon kind of like that same sort of space and area that AVR did back in the ICC days, and that's why they're trying to pull the reins on it.
It's just cruise control. Mm-hmm. The Wrath, was it Wrath during Archimonde where it drew the line? What? Pay attention. Put something on top of their heads. It's fine. So you can see visually when you're looking at your screen. But you don't need to throw a box with a line. I mean, granted, there's a lot of terrible people that I raid with who can't, it's not stand in the fire anyways. I know I'm a healer. I see it all the time.
That's why I let those people die.
They're constantly
that's the mod
that
put the spheres around people, right? I remember that.
Yeah, so it's just overdone. I mean, I don't know why players actually think they have to have that to play. It's a horrible crutch that people try to pick up. Yeah. You don't need it. You can be good. Like GTFO, like I understand everybody likes to have this add-on because it makes noise if you're standing in fire. I've hated it from day one. Like everybody, I'm standing in fire. Well, get GTFO. No, just
don't stand on the stupid, right?
Fix your UI so you can see what you're standing in. Maybe your camera is too dang far out. I know I don't play with my camera all the way out. I'm pretty much right where they have the max right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just out far enough to see myself, the little area around me, so that I can see my feet so I'm not standing in the poo.
Bell, do you think what they're doing with restrictions on add-ons in 7.1 and what they're trying to do with camera changes and all that, do you think it's for the health of the game going forward? Do you think a player backlash is going to be too strong? What are your thoughts?
So for the camera, I did originally freak out as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a PvE-er. That's not my get down. I raid with the guild because I'm the guild master and I'm required to. I hate it. The first chance I get where my raid lead is like, hey, your DPS sucks. Do you mind sitting out? Nope. I've been waiting all month for you to tell me to sit out because I don't want to raid. I am not a raider. I go through the content for achievements and I do it with the guild. I hate PvE. I literally hate it on that level. I don't like dungeons. I don't like raids. I do them and I like them, but I don't like them, if that makes sense. I'm a PvPer, so I need to see all the things. And to that end, when I raid, I need to zoom that camera all the way out because I'm a bad raider. When I say I'm a bad raider, you guys are talking about people standing in fire. That's me. Ask me how many times I've been impaled. I can't even remember the name of the box encounter. I don't even remember what it was, but they were literally taking bets. They were like, I wonder how many times Belle's going to get impaled this run. It was literally like 19. It was ridiculous. So as far as add-ons, correct me if I'm wrong, we did a write-up on it for the PDQ, but I'm pretty sure it was just visual overlay add-ons, yes? There wasn't any, none of the audio tells. So for DBM, I do like DBM because I will be staring at the screen rating and I will be watching Netflix. I know it's terrible, guys. Don't judge me. It just is what it is.
My guild's raid leader goes, yes,
okay. You know what?
The audio that says, hi, you're dumb and you're standing in something you shouldn't be, can you please move? That helps me. Do I think Blizzard needs to possibly start mandating? I do think we need to pump the brakes just a tiny bit because the mods are great. I love the developers of these mods. I think these guys are out of the box thinkers. A lot of these mods I utilize because Blizzard refuses to care about my guild. We have to use a lot of these add-ons for – I just wanted another way to throw that in there.
Well done.
We have to be able to use them, but I don't fault them for wanting to pull the reins back because I think it's a scary thing as a business if somebody might develop something that maybe one day might be better than what you're doing. And mm-hmm. I think from a business standpoint, I think that's scary also. But to that end, I also sympathize with the players because it's my $15. Don't tell me what I'm going to do with it at the end of the day. I want to do whatever I want with it. And if that means I want to have 503 add-ons in my add-on folder, that's my business unless you're going to shut off add-ons completely. Because there's a lot of games out there that don't allow mods at all. So
right. That's true.
I do agree with them scaling back, but I also do see the side of the player that's paying their money. I think it's just it's rough water for Blizzard to be in, and my hat's off to them for stepping out and possibly getting their head shot off, literally, because it was a really, really bold move. It was a bold move, Cotton. We'll see if it pays off.
I was thinking that line earlier on as well.
I think scaling back some things is definitely important. Mm-hmm. But, like, I have a hard time telling proportions in the game. So being able to tell how far away from another player or a boss or whatever or a mechanic that I need to be in order to not piss off my other healers, it's something that I would like to still have in the game, but I guess I'm just going to have to adjust without it.
I think we're all going to be making adjustments throughout the course of the expansion in general, especially as far as like how we approach end game and progression and how we feel about that. There's a whole lot of things that Legion is doing differently that I am simultaneously nervous and excited about at the same time. And I'm really hoping for the best as far as it comes to what the dev team has cooked up for us so far. Guys, one last question I want to ask you before we end for tonight. And it's actually not as much a question, but just I would like each of you, if you have any advice you'd give to my listeners about what they should or shouldn't do going into this expansion. And I'll leave the question basically as vague as that. But going around the table here, Mike, do you have any advice for players at the start of this expansion, whether it is in terms of playing the game or anything or otherwise?
My only advice is take your time. Take your time. Don't use up all that content immediately. I know they're throwing a bunch at us right away, and there's a lot to see, but take your damn time. Smell the Khadgar's whisker, whatever you see walking along whatever path you're on. Just take your slow down. Take it easy, man. It's a big world out there. There's a lot to see. There's a lot to experience. And just immerse yourself. This might be our one shot at a really, really great story over the last few expansions, however many years we've been doing this, and just enjoy it. Just soak it up. do what you want with it. Don't be in any hurry to get anywhere. Just enjoy it.
Serafina, what about you? What advice do you have for players?
I'm going to echo Mike. Take it slow. Enjoy it. Just try not to feel too overwhelmed as well. You know, enjoy the story. They're really, what I noticed in beta was they're doing a lot more bringing us into the story, because the last two or three expansions I've noticed, the story tends to get really lost in questing. Mm-hmm. And this time, the effort that they put into making sure that we are more immersed into the story really shows. So take your time, enjoy the story, enjoy the scenery, enjoy rediscovering all these things that we haven't seen since the War of the Ancients, you know, and since losing Illidan back in BC. Just reacquaint yourself with Azeroth on this new level.
Bell, advice from you.
Well, my name's Ricky Bobby, and I like to go fast.
Always just the contrary here.
You hopped just up on kidding. Mountain Dew?
Yeah, just kidding. I do agree with you guys on that aspect. But honestly, advice going into Legion, don't be a dick in trade chat.
There you go.
I want to task every listener here to not just – don't be a dick. You can cut that out. I don't mind. But literally, we as players, it is so awful to see some of the things in trade chat. And I just – sometimes I literally weep for this generation, because it's really scary that this has become – it's the joke now, right? It's become acceptable. We laugh about it. Maybe you could not. If somebody asks you a question, instead of saying learn to play or Google it, maybe you could actually help somebody. Imagine how different World of Warcraft would be if we actually helped somebody. I'm sounding like a charity commercial here, and I'm trying not to do that. But just take this to yourself and say to yourself before you click the login button, today I'm not going to be a dick in trade chat.
More help, less anal links.
Yes. Yeah. Gosh. I've learned everything I ever need to know about anal from trade chat, sadly. So if we could maybe not expose me to those things, that would be
I avoid trade chat. I avoid general. I avoid all of those.
I have them muted. I don't see them. And that's a shame. I shouldn't have to hide from my community. I just don't. Just take my advice. Say, Belle said today, I'm not going to be a dick in trade chat.
Well said. Rich, how about you?
Well, Bill said it earlier, not related to this, but I will carry that into my advice. And it's your $15. Mm-hmm. Play the game the way you want to play it. I'm a firm believer in freedom of choice. And the one thing that, despite all the people listening, all the people playing this game that like to complain at times, because we're gamers, we're not always happy, but this game provides so many different avenues to play. You can play solo. You can play with a group. You can play slow, fast. You can raid. You can do LFR. You can PvP, pet battles, transmog, classic dungeon running, heck, dancing on your mailbox, whatever it is that
farm for Ashes of Alar 100 times.
Whatever is fun for you, and that's it's a powerful aspect of this game, a facet of this game that I think we lose sight of that just doesn't exist. I've played all the other games. There's an MMO out there that I haven't played at some degree. And quite honestly, there's just nothing the WoW is the king because of what it is and what it provides us. So do what you want to do. But I will say this. While I believe in the freedom of choice, you have to be accountable for your actions, whether it's being wearing clown shoes in trade chat or – you know, burning through your content because you play 120 hours a month straight, and then complain because there's no content. Keep in mind that there's that Blizzard has to serve many masters, mm-hmm. and the fact that they're the crux that they have, the blessing of all these great and different avenues, is also a curse to them, because it means that there's all these different play styles. We're not all doing the same thing. So the content they provide can't always match. It won't. They cannot make everybody happy. So just be accountable for your actions. If you're going to go out there and play 150 miles an hour, then if you're going to be the first to the end, great. But then stand there and twiddle your thumbs, and don't just sit there and rant on the forums about how Blizzard doesn't care about you because they didn't get out their fourth content patch 4 months after the game launched. So keep that in mind, but ultimately, it's your money. Do what you want.
I couldn't have put it any better, and the four of you have made putting this episode together very easy for me. I've loved all the thoughts and advice that you guys have had, and it's just each of you do a great job on your individual podcasts, and I really enjoy the four of you being able to come together and just talk Legion for a little while, talk World of Warcraft. Thank you very much for showing up for this Legion roundtable. Before we go, I'd like to give each of you an opportunity to let my listeners know where and how they can find you, social media, podcast, and otherwise. Seraphita, you're from Dalaran Academy. How can folks find that show?
You can find us on d20crit.com or on Twitter at Dalaran Academy, and as Dalaran Academy on Facebook as well. And individually, you can find me on my Twitter, Seraphita. Although, if you tweet at Dalaran Academy, I'm probably the one who's going to be responding anyway. So, pretty much find me at both of those places.
Awesome. And Belle, how can folks find you and the Pwncast?
Pwncast seems to be everywhere, and I don't know how I'm still alive, but you can find us on Twitter at the Pwncast. Somebody has actually at Pwncast. Kind of rude. If you're listening, can you please let me have it? Thanks. And Pwncast.tv is where you can find the podcast, all your Blizzard-related WoW news, all the news, guides, all the fun stuff, PwncastDailyQuest.com. And you can find me posting memes on Twitter because that's how I interpret my life. I express myself with memes, emojis, and interpretive dance. So, at Belle of Pwncast on Twitter.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how dank are your memes?
Like, I didn't remember yesterday. That's how dank. Some of you will get it.
Mike, you're still doing Stopcast. What the heck?
Yeah, we're coming up on 300 episodes here. 295 just happened.
That is
pre-grats.
Nuts.
That's excellent. Yeah.
How can people find you in Stopcast?
Well, we try not to let too many people in because it sort of brings down the IQ average. But you can find our show. Stopcast.net has all the old episodes. We are on Twitch, so you can search for Stopcast on Twitch or whatever. And we're there. We do a live video show every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Central. And I am on the Twitters, Mike_Stopcast, and you can find my two co-hosts, Pac-Man. He's on Pac-Man PvP and J_Stopcast. If you want to hit up any of those clowns, they're almost as cool as I am.
Almost.
Almost.
You're a lumberjack, so they don't have that on you.
See, now they have better looks than me, so I have to have the cool factor. Mm-hmm. It's just how it works. But, yeah, you can find us there or in Azeroth.
Sounds good. And finally, of course, Rich, how can people find Horde for Life?
You can find us at hordeforlife.com, where you can get the latest episodes and a full archive of all of our shows. We're also on iTunes, Stitch Radio, TuneIn Radio. Find us on Twitter at HFL Podcast, and you can email us at hordeforlifepodcast@gmail.com. I just want to say I listen to all the podcasts that are on here, not as frequently as I'd like because I don't have as much time, but I've listened to all of you at one time or another, most of you very recently. And you guys do a great job. I particularly, Belle, I'm a PvP player, and I don't get to talk PvP very much because my two co-hosts, they'll mute me. So I have to get my PvP somewhere, and I listen to Pwncast quite a bit for the PvP stuff. So you do a great job. But all of you do an amazing job. And you guys had some great opinions, especially for you Alliance players. I was really, really surprised by that.
I was waiting for that. I knew that. I was waiting.
I mostly play Alliance, but Horde is where my heart is.
There you go. Love it. And Ro, thank you for bringing us together and for everything you do on Realm Maintenance.
Definitely.
Thank you very much, and again, all four of you, Mike, Rich, Belle, Seraphita, thank you for being on the show this week. Have fun on the Broken Isles.
We'll do it.
Oh, definitely.
For the Alliance.
Always for the Alliance.
For the Horde.
Not for Jaina.
Locktide ogres.
Locktide ogres.
Why does everybody hate Jaina?
Legion attack on Azeroth may have ulterior motives. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. The events I'm about to relate to you may seem highly improbable, and many may think them infinitely so, but I assure you this is an accurate accounting of my very strange day-to-day, which has led me to question exactly why the Legion is so insistent on seeing Azeroth destroyed.
It started when I was following up on our last report about a spike in suicides caused by doomsayers. I decided to test the theory by reading one of their tracts. I was surprised to find poetry. But it was horribly bad poetry, if not the worst in the universe, at least the third worst. In agony, I threw the paper away and flew to Tenaris to combat the invasion. While there, I first noticed that the bones I was fighting next to were not fossils, but fresh, with strips of whale blubber hanging from them. As I tried to comprehend this, I distinctly heard someone yelling, "Oh no, not again," before a pot of petunias slammed into my head. To avoid this biological bombardment, I took refuge in a nearby Legion structure. I found myself in the basement and entered a room that for some reason had a sign on the door that said, "Beware of Henry." I found a filing cabinet in the corner, and inside I found what appeared to be a set of battle plans. I couldn't decipher the bulk of it, but two words I could make out may explain why the Legion is so determined to obliterate our home. Those words? Hyperspace bypass.
Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
You heard of Gamescom, the expansion hype is quickly on the run. You wait for BlizzCon and wonder if those artifacts will be fun. You close your eyes and hope that garrisons will never come back. But all the while, you hear that podcast ramping up the hype. You're out of time. It's almost Legion. Legion time. And no one's gonna save you from the beta data mine. It's almost Legion. Illidan's night. You fight to keep away from all the spoilers. And Legion online. It's close to launch night. And something green is lurking in the dark. You click resubscribe, though you promised you would always be a part. You try to leave, but you click the download button before you knew it. The character screen, create new buttons, looks you right between the eyes. You've gotta try. This is Legion, Legion time. And there's no way you won't make a demon hunter tonight. You know it's Legion, Illidan's night. You had to resubscribe to fight the burning Legion tonight. Yeah.
Darkness falls across the land. Gul'dan's back by dev demand. Demon hunters double jump to aggravate you in arena. And whosoever is a noob who does nothing but QQ can try to resist the Hounds of Fel or succumb to Kil'jaeden's spell.
You are not prepared!
The foulest stench has gotten stranger. The funk of 40,000 gamers fighting demons and ghouls from Sargeras' tomb, keeping them sealed within their rooms. And though you fight to not resub, the loot's a tempting reason. For no mere raider can resist the might of the burning Legion.
Ha!
It's the end of the show, and that means it's once again time for the roundup. This is an insanely quick rundown of every Blizzard podcast I'm aware of that's recorded the show between August 21st and 27th of 2016. For general Blizzard podcasts, we have All Things Azeroth, Blizzard Watch, A Blue Recluse, Chicks a Click, Epic Fail, Frozen Nerds, The Geeks of Azeroth, Hearthcast, The Incense, Lagging Ballstorm, Chasers of Azeroth, The Sundering, Torn Think Tank, and Victor Sanctum. World of Warcraft podcasts include Azeroth Roundtable, Bowers Bears, Converted, Control at Wild, Dalaran Academy, Daughters of Azeroth, Evangelism, Final Boss, Game Case Show, Girls Gone Wild, Goblin Gold Cast, Horde for Life, Legend Style, Lore, Watch the Meeting Stone, Middle Finger Podcast, Pwncast, Raiding Walesha, Raided Battleground, Reigns of Azeroth, The Starting Zone, Stopcast, Technically PvP, Unshackled Fury, Warcraft Nightly News, The Worgen's Howl, WoW Talk, WoWhead Weekly, Wormcast, and Your WoW Money. Inside the Tavern for Hearthstone, we have 1600 Dust, The Angry Chicken, Coin Concede, Golden Wisp, Hearth Coach, Hearth Court, Hero Power Cast, The Light Forge, Legend of the Innkeeper, Meta Meltdown, Never Legend, Top Deck Kings, Value Town, Walk to Work, and Well Met. Heroes of the Storm shows include Core, Dirty Casual, Heroes Forge, Heroes Radio, Heroes of the Storm Power Hour, Into the Nexus, Lords of the Storm, Meta of the Storm, and Town Hall Heroes. And finally, for Overwatch podcasts, well, apparently Sombra hacked my weekly podcast roundup because every podcast here is named Sombra. However, you can find links to all of these podcasts, including the ones that Sombra hacked, by going to realm-maintenance.com. I'll see you on September 13th with my guests from the Heroes Radio podcast. Until then, have fun in Legion, folks.
Fallen soldiers, this is the Raided Battleground. I'm Winstead, the Battleground Commander, and this is your Tactical Minute.
Let the battle begin.
When it comes to Raided Battlegrounds, a team always could use a direction whenever it comes to anything, whether it's taking objectives or in the middle of a team fight. This is where a shot caller comes into play. And whenever a shot caller calls for a shot, it's important to know what you should do in that moment. The three major things that should be taking place whenever a shot caller calls for his team to come together and focus down a target is first, to identify the target. Once everybody knows who they're trying to kill, the next step is to isolate that target. This could mean gripping the target away from his group, or CCing the healer so that he doesn't get any support. And last, kill the target. This is where you turn your big guns onto that target and blast him out of the battleground straight to the graveyard. Once the target is down, it's important to reset, regroup, and make sure that you're ready for the next shot. If you have any questions or comments, you can get a hold of me at Winstead84 on Twitter, or you can email me at winstead@gmail.com. And of course, you can always catch me on the Raided Battleground podcast, where we talk about tactics and strategies to improve your PvP game. And now, here are your orders. You are to log in, queue up, and take the shot, because no one is going to be able to take it for you.
This podcast is a part of the Signals Media All-Star Network. For more information on this and other fine shows, go to signalsmedia.com. It's okay to stick our stuff in your ears. Really?